The Farewell. A wide field of blue above a wide field of darker blue. Odysseus sat on his favourite rock and stared out. Sometimes the swift flight of a cormorant, gannet or tern might interrupt the purity of his view. Less often, a fishing vessel laboured with agonising slowness from left to right or right to left. But usually, as now, he was left with an empty screen which he could people with the living and the dead. Diomedes, the dearest of his brothers in arms, whom in a moment of madness he'd once attacked with a knife. Diomedes would be back in Argos now. Achilles was treading the fields of Elysium in bliss. Agamemnon would be home and happy too. Menelaus and Helen in Sparta once more, the lords and princes of Thessaly, Thebes, Corinth and Crete, all home. All but Odysseus of Ithaca. Why did the gods despise him? He had thought himself on good terms with Athena, at least. He made the proper offerings, credited the gods with any successes that came his way. Most men would call him blessed. On this island paradise, an immortal nymph of transcendent beauty serving him, pleasing him, loving him every day. He did his duty, but thought himself cursed. She knew that wherever his body might be, his mind was always in Ithaca. And now he felt her as much as heard her. Still staring out to sea, weeping, he said nothing. Perhaps you will answer me if I ask another question. How would you like to leave this island?
Odysseus said nothing.
I have decided the time has come. Take some tools, cut some wood and make timbers for a raft. I have cloth enough to make you a sail. Son of Laertes, at least face me when I bring you the news you've waited 7 years to hear.
Odysseus turned to look at her.
What fresh trick is this? There are no tools of bronze on this island with which I could cut wood. You've made sure of that.
You will find them, all the same. A chest of axes, saws and knives is now outside my cave. I've made it so. I'll give you food, water, and wine enough for your journey home.
Home? The word could hardly find passage through Odysseus's throat.
What are you plotting? Oh, I see. I get it. Yes, of course. The gods have decided to have fun with me once again, have they? My little raft might float across a flat sea for a while, but soon enough, you or Zeus or another one of you will boil up the waters and crash the winds into me. Oh, what sport you will have with Odysseus! How Olympus will shake with laughter!
Calypso stepped forward and held his shoulders.
Has life really made you so cynical? Look into my eyes. I swear by the sky above and by my honour. More than that, you know there is no greater oath an immortal can make than this. I swear by the cold black waters of the river Styx itself that I wish you nothing but what you wish yourself. See me swear it. Feel it come from my deepest heart. Odysseus, trust me.
He looked into her eyes a long while.
She took him by the hand and Odysseus followed her to the cave. There, outside, just as she had said, was a chest of tools, bronze blades glinting in the sun. Inside, she showed him the cloth he could use for a sail. Let us eat first. You will need strength if you are to swing those axes. As they ate, the hope and shock inside Odysseus began to reveal themselves in an energy and force that he had not shown since the first weeks of his stay on the island.
Calypso watched him with sad amusement. Can leaving me really give you so much joy? Odysseus was grateful that his mouth was full, excusing him any speech. Calypso sighed. I looked at myself in the waters of the stream this morning, and you know, I thought I saw the face of a beautiful immortal, a face that will never change, never age. Odysseus said nothing. Tell me, how old is your Penelope now?
Just a year short of my own age, he mumbled through his mouthful of bread.
Calypso examined her nails.
I wonder how she'll look.
Odysseus swallowed the bread. A smile spread across his face. Well, now let me see. To the lines etched by the passing of the years, you must add all the cares that have haunted her for more than 20 years. Looking after my mother and father, Laertes and Anticlea, as they grow older and more infirm. Tending to the kingdom. Bringing up my son, Telemachus. Worrying if that wretch of a husband of hers will ever come home. All this will have carved more and deeper lines into her face. She was lovely when she was young. So lovely. But never a beauty that could match yours, Calypso. It was a human beauty, far inferior to the appeal of nymphs. Somehow, to Calypso's ears, the word nymphs sounded almost like an insult. Penelope's youth will have faded by now, for sure, Odysseus went on. But it will have transformed into something deeper. She will have the kind of depth of beauty only women have. A woman's fine grace, personality, character. No, you needn't worry. Penelope could never match a girl like you for youth and beauty. You might even think her ugly. When I see her, I will know that she is Penelope, my wife. Calypso compressed her lips. Another thought struck her. I do what I can to make this island delightful, you know. We are protected from the storms and high winds. When it comes, the rain falls in a light drizzle that is enough to freshen the earth and cleanse body and spirit. No wolves or bears threaten here. Flowers of every colour bloom and send their sweet perfume into the air. Pomegranates, lemons, grapes, olives and figs can be picked warm from the trees. The hushing of the surf and the trilling of the crickets lull you to sleep in the evening, and in the morning the music of the birds welcomes you to another perfect day. But I suppose Ogygia is a poor place indeed compared to Ithaca. Odysseus openly laughed. Oh, my goodness! You've never seen such a rocky, scrubby, barren, unforgiving spot, he said. It's all our farmers can do to grow weeds there, let alone cereals and fruit. We have the sourest wine, the raggediest sheep, the scrawniest cattle of any island in the wide Ionian Sea. Trees and houses are blown down every year in the gales. Some years the rain never comes and the earth turns to sand. Other years the whole island slops with mud. Believe me, Ithaca is no Ogygia. But it's something else. It's... His eyes now filled with tears, and the word came out hoarsely. Home. The sun finally set, and darkness fell on the island. Calypso wiped away her own tears and took his hand. One last time, she whispered. One last time, Odysseus said, letting her lead him to bed. The next morning, early, Odysseus was felling trees with a joy that such a task had never brought him before. 20 small trees yielded 20 logs for the base of his raft. He stripped a larger trunk into a mast and set himself to saw and split planks for a dry deck. He remembered supervising the men as they erected the great stockade between the plain of Ilium and the shoreline during the first weeks of the war. And then, 10 years later, watching Epeius oversee the construction of the wooden horse, both of them obsessing over every detail. How glad he was then, and how glad he was now, as he took a copper-headed adze from Calypso's chest of tools, that his father Laertes had insisted he be schooled in woodwork and joinery from his earliest age. A boy should be able to fell a tree and build a cabin before he is 16. Odysseus had built with his own hand elements of the palace in Ithaca that he and Penelope had called home for so short a time. His mind dwelt on the great bed he had fashioned from an ancient olive, a noble old tree that she had begged him not to fell. One day they would sleep in that bed again. He carved out dowels and joints for the gunwales and pegs and cleats to take the rudder and sail. He stood back to survey his work. Calypso appeared with the sailcloth and baskets of provisions. Bread, fruit, smoked meat, and here skins of wine and of water to last you 3 weeks. Odysseus took them, delirious with happiness. What made you change your mind after all this time? Was it my sulking? Never mind why. Just have faith that with all my heart I wish you safe passage. I will it, and the gods will it. Odysseus handed Calypso one of the long wooden poles he had made to act as levers to facilitate a smooth launch. Together, they eased the raft to the water's edge. "Well, I suppose this is where we say goodbye," said Odysseus, pushing off and climbing aboard. He knew these were lame words, but he could think of no others. "I love you, you dreadful man," said Calypso. The sail caught the breeze, and her figure alone on the sand grew small. He watched her for a while, his hand raised in farewell, before he turned towards the horizon and home.